A majority of Americans today believe that we're not on the right path. As a nation, we're not heading in the right direction. Even a lot of liberals today feel that way. What is it going to take to see genuine American renewal, genuine American revival, genuine change in America to restore our founding principles? Or is it too late? Some Christians feel that perhaps it's all prophesied to get worse anyway, so why even concern ourselves with the seeming collapse of America? Our guest right now to discuss all this is Dr. George Grant, a best-selling author of many Christian books. He's also a pastor and a leading Christian educator. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Dr. Grant, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's a great delight to be with you again.
Okay. Well, Dr. Grant, George, let's start with the first question first, or I'm sorry, the last question first. That is, what would you say to those who might be inclined to say, well, you know, the Bible says it's all going to get worse. That's their understanding of what the Bible says. And therefore, to even try and change anything is like trying to polish the brass on the sinking Titanic.
Well, first of all, the whole idea of pessimism about the kingdom is antithetical to the gospel. One of the things that the scriptures teach us is that first and foremost, no matter what happens in God's providence and history, our job is to do our job. We're to go out and make disciples. We're to go out and exercise mercy. We're to go out and stand for what is right and good and true. And so regardless of what's happening around us, we have a job to do. As Jesus said, we are to occupy till he comes. And our task is to do what we always pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We ask the Lord to have his kingdom come, and for his will to be done on earth just as it is in heaven. So for us to be pessimistic about the work of the gospel in the world is to deny the power of the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean that we're Pollyanna-ish about the very real and dangerous place that we may be in as a culture. But it does mean that we trust God's promises and we go forward in the work of the gospel in the midst of a fallen world. What is wrong with our world right now are confused worldviews. And the antidote to confused worldviews is the proclamation, the exercise of the gospel in every sphere, art, music, literature, ideas, politics, the whole gamut. And so I am innately optimistic no matter what the headlines say, because I believe God's promises. Hmm. And it's as simple as that.
Okay, so what about the first part that I mentioned, that a majority of Americans that we're not headed right direction as? And that would include the worldview. Although I guess a lot of the people who would even feel that way maybe even have conflicting with our worldview.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, and self-contradictory worldviews oftentimes. Yeah, I would say that that I agree with them. Things look very grim right now. We have an administration in Washington, D.C. that is both in terms of policy and in terms of philosophy, very, very antagonistic to a biblical worldview. And the results are showing up everywhere, from the gas pumps to the front lines of battle in Ukraine. And so I would agree that our nation is not headed in the right direction, that Western culture in general is in trouble. But that, in and of itself, is a kind of clarion call for Christian faithfulness. Now is the time for us to be more faithful than ever before. One of the things that I often tell my students, and something that I say regularly to the members of our church, is simply that What an amazing time that God has chosen for us to live. What a generation to live in at this moment when so much is on the line, when so much is at stake, where freedom is at risk. God has chosen us to be his ambassadors and his witnesses in this day and time. That's an incredible privilege, and with great privilege comes great responsibility.
Let me just take an example, and this may seem strange, but I'll just throw it out there. I have had the privilege to visit San Francisco about 3 or 4 or 5 times over the last 30 years. And I cannot believe the way this city is degenerating. This was one of America's most beautiful cities, obviously very liberal, but now it's in a deathward spiral. And, you know, you walk in certain areas and it's just, it's incredible. The homeless have taken over the streets. Everywhere you look, you see syringes on the ground. And yet the city gives out stipends to homeless people, and there are people who are paid to pick up human excrement. And, you know, I'm sure that even just as far as hygiene is concerned, the city is dangerous, much less other ways as well, such as crime and so forth. And not to mention Christian morality.
Right. Well, you know, sadly, Jerry, you can say exactly the same thing about Seattle, about Portland, about parts of Chicago, about New York City. Walk around, you know, in the Brownsville area of Brooklyn in New York. You know, it's the same story repeated over and over and over again. We are in trouble as a culture, and there are consequences. I live in a part of the country, as do you, where I'm astonished at the number of people flooding into our community. And, you know, as I'm speaking to you, I'm also in Florida. I'm in the Orlando area at Ligonier Ministries, one of the great ministries in our nation. And everywhere I look, there is construction. It's booming. People are happy. They're delighted because they have fled from those parts of the country that are in that death spiral. It's just a reminder that we've got a lot of work to do.
But you know, the interesting thing is some of these people that leave those places, they will end up voting for the same kinds of politicians that will bring in all those kinds of problems. It's almost as if all these problems compound each other. So, for example, you start with the pro-life issue. You abandon a commitment to life, and that's the beginning of all kinds of problems, because you show me a politician that isn't right on the issue of abortion, and I'll show you a politician that's probably wrong on economics, on, you know, all kinds of different things, free speech rights, religious liberty, etc.
Right. Yeah, there's no question. These are compounding problems, and they all go back to worldview. I think you've identified something really key. The closer you get to human dignity, the human value, human life, the closer you get to the core of a worldview. We've got a tremendous amount of work to do. When I walk into an art museum these days, I'm reminded of the clash of worldview. You look at the monstrosities that are considered a modern art, and you see the degeneration and the decomposition of our sense of what is beautiful and good and true before our very eyes. It's everywhere. Walk into a toy store, and you're suddenly confronted with the clash of worldviews. So, bottom line, Christians and churches have not done a very good job of declaring clearly that our job is to live out what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. We've had an escapist sort of mentality in our faith, where we hide away in our holy huddles, and we're suffering as a result. Our nation is suffering. Every time we go to the gas pump, we're suffering from this bad worldview. So it's time for us to go to work. It's time for us to roll up our sleeves. It's time to do our job, what God has called us to do all along, and that is to live out consistently the proclamation of freedom in Christ, freedom in the application of genuine, substantive Christian culture, and hope for the ages. You know, you said it earlier when you posed the initial question, Jerry, and that is that even those who have a conflicting or confused worldview know that we're not on the right track. You have to be insane to believe that America, that Western culture, that our world is in a good place right now. And so that, you know, gives us the opportunity to speak truth into the world of lies, to bring light into the midst of darkness.
Okay, we have just a few minutes left. How about some specific concrete steps that you could mention? And I guess it boils down to whatever particular, you know, each particular listener feels like God has called them to do, and just be faithful in that particular realm.
Yes. Well, first, I would say that there are simple things that all of us are called to do. This should be a time where Christians are more serious about prayer than ever before. We ought to be on our knees. We ought to be crying out in solemn assemblies before the Lord. We ought to be fasting and praying. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that we need to be very, very intentional about the sharing of our faith. You know, your mentor and mine, Dr. D. James Kennedy, reminded a whole new generation of the power of sharing the gospel one-on-one with individuals to open their eyes and enable them to start to see what is right and good and true and beautiful, and to lay the foundations for an eternity in heaven. If we're not actively sharing the gospel with others, then we're simply playing into the game plan of a sleepy church as the world drifts into oblivion. Third, every single one of us has an area of calling. We need to pursue our calling with all of the diligence and with all of the excellence that we possibly can. We need to demonstrate to the world that there are substantive and excellent answers in the Christian worldview. If we do those three things that all of us are called to do, then all of the other things will start to fall into place. Our role as citizens, our calling to support ministries of substance, our opportunity to make our churches the center points of hope in our communities. All of those other things will start to fall into place. Our representatives will listen to us. Our communities will look to us for answers. That is our job.
Excellent. Well, George, we're out of time. Is there a website you want to refer us to?
Well, there's. I have a website, georgegrant.net. Lots of resources there. But I want to always commend the work of the ongoing legacy of Dr. Kennedy through your ministry. And I'm just grateful to the Lord that you're proclaiming the truth as clearly as you do.
Well, thank you so much. That website, by the way, would be djameskennedy.org. George Grant, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry.